here is an international speaker, author, and facilitator of advanced workshops on access consciousness. He's here to talk about his book, Being You, Changing the World, and give us his spin on our LGBT issues. Hi, Dane.
Hi, Charlotte.
Tell us about your book, Being You, Changing the World.
Well, it's a book I wrote, and the first sentence in it is, I wrote this book for the dreamers of the world and the seekers, somebody who knows there's something else different, but had not had the tools to be able to create it yet. So basically, it's a book of tools, inspiration, and ways of changing the things that I think we've all wanted to change in our lives and haven't known how to get there.
What was your inspiration for writing it?
Well, I got to a place 14 years ago, almost 15 years ago now, where I was literally going to kill myself if things didn't change in my life. I was depressed. I was unhappy. I had what looked like the perfect life from the outside, and yet I was dying inside. And, you know, I made a demand of myself and I guess the universe at large. I said, look, either my life changes or I'm killing myself. And I came across something called access consciousness. I had a one-hour session of it, and literally I left the session knowing that I wanted to live. So I wrote the book because I know so many people like that, or somewhat less on that scale, that don't know there's something different possible. I wanted to let them know there not only is something different possible, but there is the capacity to change the things that they want to change, so you don't have to go down that road.
What would you like to accomplish with this book?
Well, I'd like people to know that basically, no matter how different they are, there's a place and a space for them. And in actuality, the difference that we are is actually the value that we are. You know, what if our difference were the greatness of us? So what I would love to accomplish with it is I'd love somebody to be able to pick it up and start having a sense that it's okay to finally be them, whatever that is, whatever it looks like.
What is your personal commitment to LGBT equality?
Well, I think it's one of the most important things that is going on. You know, our LGBT culture, what we have is we have a culture of people who know that they're different. And when I say know that they're different, what I mean is they know they're different from everybody else out there. It's like when I was a little kid, I literally, from the age 2 till 10, I grew up in the ghetto. And I was like the only white face that was there, you know, for like probably 8 square miles. But none of us knew it. You know, all of my friends had darker skin than I did. But nobody ever pointed me out and said, hey, you know what, you're different, you're wrong. Until I was about 8 years old, it was the first time I had gotten beaten up for being a different color. And what I recognized with that is, it's like kids don't come in judging. It's something that we teach them. And my commitment is to give people the tools they need to come out of the judgment of them, to come out of the wrongness of them, no matter whether that's LGBT or anybody else on the planet. You have so many of our kids who are suffering bullying. You have so many of our kids who are trying to basically cut off the parts of them that make them great so they can try to fit in with everybody else. What I'd like to see is a world where we truly embrace our differences as the greatness of us, whatever they are.
What would you like to see happen for LGBT equality in the next few years?
In the next few years, what I would love to see is I would love to see our LGBT community wake up and recognize that we truly are creating changes in the world. You know, the Supreme Court decision is one indication of that, and it's a large indication because of its impact, you know, in the United States. What I'd like to see is I would like to see marriage equality in every state, but also I'd like to see it around the world. You know, there are many countries who are having this conversation now, and I think marriage equality, though, is just one of the aspects of what it is that's actually possible, because what I'd like to see is us no longer having to hide us, whatever that is, and actually realize that we have a unique possibility for functioning beyond judgment. You know, what we can do is we can show everyone else, hey, you know what, I have lived the trials and travails of judgment that this reality throws at me. I'm not only surviving, but I'm thriving. So what I'd like to see is what the marriage possibility, what that has opened the door to, actually spread to every other area of life. And we have so many ways in which there isn't equality, you know, in the workplace and in so many different things. And I think what is possible is a unique perspective where it's like, hey, guys, I've lived it. You don't have to make yourself wrong anymore.
LGBT teens are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers, and we continue to have numerous teens take their lives after facing bullying incidents. Now, I know that you've had questions about suicide yourself. What advice would you have for these kids?
The advice I'd have for these kids is I have worked with many kids who are depressed, who are sometimes on the verge of being suicidal. And one of the interesting things is, the first thing I would say to them, because I don't know if anybody else has, is you're not wrong. What if there were truly nothing wrong with you? And start asking this question, what's right about me that I'm not getting? What's right about me I'm not getting? Because we tend to spend our entire lives believing that there's somehow some wrongness in us. It's just not true. Now, that's first. The second, I could probably go on for hours, but the second thing that I would say is to let them recognize that when you are different, when you feel different, what you do is you increase your sensitivity for everything that's not that, because what happens is you start receiving judgment from people at a very young age, and so what ends up happening is you end up picking up on that, you end up tuning your dial to that frequency. And so what you want to do is you want to recognize, one of the things that set me free when I was depressed is this piece of information, that 98% of the thoughts, the feelings, and the emotions, and the stuff that go on in your head actually is not yours. And there's a real simple tool you can use to start changing it, and that is, who does this belong to? Because we pick up these things, we pick up other people's judgments, we pick up other people's sadness, we pick up other people's anger, we pick up all of this stuff, and it weighs us down to such an extent that we feel like we can't deal with it. This is a way of getting rid of a large portion of that. And you just ask, who does this belong to? If the heaviness you're feeling, if the judgment, if the wrongness, if it lightens up at all, it's not yours. And just return it to sender, whoever it came from. The next thing is to recognize that the difference that you are is a gift. It's not a wrongness. It's part of the gift you are here to be in this world. And please recognize that. It truly is, because you have a different perspective. You have a different way of looking at things. And one of the other things that I would ask us all in the LGBT community and in every other community out there that exists is, can we please stop fighting as though fighting is going to create a different result? Now, that doesn't mean that we don't make different choices, that we don't challenge things, but let's do it not from resistance and reaction to what is, because that just creates more of the same. Let's do it from an awareness that what is inappropriate, it's time to change it, but we're not going to do it by aligning and agreeing or resisting and reacting. We're going to do it from the space of, you know what, I know there's something greater that's possible, and I'm going to choose that. It's like when Nelson Mandela got into office, he didn't get into office and then say, hey, now it's black power, we're excluding all the white people. He said, we need to do something different here, and included even those that were hateful. And in so doing, because of his strength and courage, he ended up changing the face of the entire country. Now, was it a perfect thing? No, absolutely not. But we have to look from a different place if we're truly going to create a difference in the world.
How can people get information about Being You, Changing the World?
One of the ways, you can go to my website, which is drdainheer.com. It's drdainheer.com. And there's a few things there. There are a lot of things there that are my gift, because I want to pay forward the gift that this work has been in my life in the last 15 years. There's audio that you can download that's free. It's the intro and first chapter of the Being You, Changing the World book. And I've had people tell me that alone, they listen to it when they don't know what else to listen to, and it seems to create a lightness and an ease and a space for them. And there's a video series there with just like 10 different tools that are things that I learned when I was first coming out of this place of depression and needing tools to change it on a daily basis. So you can go to drdainheer.com, and there's that about the book, and some of the tools that are in it are in video form, and it's all my gift to you.
What other projects are you working on?
One of the aspects of Access Consciousness work that I do is something called BARS, and it's a real simple process that people can learn. And what it does, it stresses you and takes you out of the sort of fight or flight mode that most people's bodies are in. And we have a thing that we're doing of actually teaching that to relief workers in areas like Syria and Lebanon. And that's one of the things that I'm extremely happy about. And also, I've got about three more books in the works right now, all about different perspectives on the world and how we can truly start to use consciousness to change what's going on in our planet. You know, we have LGBT issues, we have war, we have a planet that is in dire need of something different. So I'm doing everything I can from my end because I know we can change things. The Supreme Court ruling was just one example of that. I know we have the capacity to change things. It just takes enough of us to recognize that we can, to come together, and then to actually have the tools to do it.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
There are so many questions I wish people would ask me, but one of which would be, how do I truly get out of judgment of me and everyone else? And how do I become the greatness of me, even if it doesn't match anything this reality has seen? Because what I see is I see people walking around, and so many times it's the people that are the sensitive people of the world that seem to be beaten down by this reality, specifically because they are so sensitive. They're weighed down by the things they know that they want to change and that should be changeable, and they're so aware of other people's pain and suffering. And what I'd like them to know is they are the greatness. They are the gift in this world, and the gift this world has been looking for. I wish they would simply ask, because there's so many ways of showing them that rather than making them believe that they need to walk around in the wrongness of them. It's truly the people that have the capacity to change the world are the ones that are oftentimes most weighed down by the world we live in.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
There's two, actually. One of which is a question that I've learned to ask whenever something bad happens or when something good happens. And it's, how does it get any better than this? And when you ask, how does it get any better than this in a bad situation, the situation gets better. When you ask, how does it get any better than this in a good situation, like something great just happened, it gets even better. But what most people do is they haven't learned to ask questions, because a question always opens up a different possibility. An answer always creates the same thing you had before you came up with that answer. And so what you do when you ask the question is it opens up totally different possibilities. And then the other one is, what's right about this I'm not getting, and what's right about me I'm not getting. To start coming out of the wrongness, because one of the things that creates the difficult times for us is when we go into the wrongness of us and act like there's nothing else possible. And then one last question, which would be, what else is possible here, and what's it going to take to change this? What happens is when you ask what else is possible, you're inviting the universe to show you that something different can exist. Most of us, when we go through difficult times, we feel like we're sort of stuck with what's in front of us. And one of the things I've learned over the last 14 years is that everything is changeable. And asking a question, what it does, it's like what most of us are doing is we're walking down the road of our life, and we've been walking in that direction so long we've worn a rut. And now there's these big walls on the right and left of us, and we can't see over, around, or through them. And when you ask a question, it's like doors open to the left and right, and they have these possibilities there that you never saw before you asked the question. So if you ask, what else is possible? What's it going to take to change this? How does it get any better than this? What's right about this I'm not getting, and what's right about me I'm not getting? You have sort of a mini arsenal to start creating change in difficult times.